This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Measure for Measure has long been considered one of Shakespeare's problem plays. Well, it's a problem for scholars anyway. Not quite a comedy, not quite a drama. And it touches on some especially contentious topics. The Bard wrote it in the early 1600s. It depicts sexual assault and harassment, and its central questions pose a particular set of challenges for directors and actors staging the production today. The Me Too era has shined a light on the need for direct conversations about consent. Director Rebecca Bloom tackled these challenges head-on when she took the helm of a new staging for the Raleigh Little Theater's production of Measure for Measure. She reworked some scenes and hired an intimacy director to inform how actors approach the production. Rebecca Bloom joins me now. Welcome to State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Talk a little bit more about this, the plot itself. We should probably hear more about Measure for Measure, right?
Sure. Excuse me. So, at the beginning of the play, we meet the Duke, and the Duke is very frustrated with the state of things.
Because he couldn't get on. He couldn't get on. He's the Duke, and he can't get on the state of things. What's going on? He's talking to his staff, and
so,
nothing's happening.
Understandably so. He's very frustrated. And the root of his frustration is a series of laws that he has allowed to become dormant for, I think he says, 19 years. And a lot of those are anti-sex laws, okay? So he's very frustrated because he sees the state of his realm.
They're in moral decay.
Yeah.
They're in moral decay, and he's in charge. So
right.
What do I do about that?
Except he doesn't want to be the one to enforce those laws.
Right.
So he decides he's going to go out of town. And in his place, he's going to put a very strict, morally virtuous man named Angelo. So when Angelo takes his place, he immediately begins to put these laws back into practice. And the first fellow who is impacted by this is a young man named Claudio, who has gotten his fiancée pregnant. And under Angelo's newly reinforced law,
right,
he is subject to die for this, for fornication. And Claudio, you know, enjoying being alive, sends for his sister, Isabella, who is a lovely young woman who wants nothing more than to be a nun and not have to think about all these things that the Duke has been frustrated with. So Isabella agrees to go to Angelo, and while she is pleading for her brother's life, Angelo becomes very aware of not only her physical beauty, but her intelligence. She's incredibly smart and reasons very well with him. And so he's affected by that. He gives her an ultimatum. And that ultimatum is, if you sleep with me, then I will let your brother live. If you don't, he dies to become an example for everyone else. And so she finds herself at a crossroads, and
the
crux of it.
And we'll talk more about that, because then this presents some interesting challenges, but also possibilities. And, of course, it is precisely the genius of the Bard and a tribute to Shakespeare's durability that it would touch on so many issues that we're dealing with today. How you deal with them, how you contextualize those in the 21st century becomes your challenge. And we'll talk more about that. But let's get a sense of this play. And so joining me now are two actors from the production. Wade Newhouse plays the character Angelo, and Rosemary Richard plays the character Isabella. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Let's get right into this. Maybe you can do a scene for us. And Wade, maybe I'll ask you to set it up as Angelo.
So this is the crux of that bargain that Rebecca just described. This is at the end of some rhetorical back and forth, and Angelo has twice now tried to make this suggestion that if she give up her body, Angelo will save the brother, and she has not responded. So he finally lays that out on the table and makes it as graphic as he can. And then this bit is him saying that and then her reaction and then his reaction to that reaction. And so it's a sort of rhetorical, physical sort of dueling that gets, I think, uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Your brother is to die, and his offense is so, as it appears, accountant to the law upon that pain. Admit no other way to save his life but that you, his sister, finding yourself desired of such a person whose credit with the judge or own great place could fetch your brother from the manacles of the all-building law, and that there were no earthly mean to save him, but that either you must lay down the treasures of your body to this supposed, or else to let him suffer. What would you do?
As much for my poor brother as myself. That is, were I under the terms of death, the impression of keen whips I'd wear as rubies, and strip myself to death ere I deal my body up to shame.
Then must your brother die.
And 'twere the cheaper way. Better it were a brother died at once than that a sister, by redeeming him, should die forever.
Let me be bold. Be that you are, that is, a woman. If you be more, you're none. If you be one, as you are well expressed by all external warrants, show it now, by putting on the destined livery. Plainly conceive, I love you.
My brother did love Juliet, and you tell me that he shall die for it.
He shall not, Isabel, if you give me love. Believe me, on mine honor, my words express my purpose.
Little honor to be much believed, and most pernicious purpose. Seeming. I will proclaim thee, Angela, look for it. Sign me a present pardon for my brother, or with an outstretched throat I'll tell the world aloud what man thou art.
Who will believe thee, Isabel? My unsoiled name, the austereness of my life, my vouch against you, and my place in the state will so your accusation overwhelm that you shall stifle in your own report and smell of calumny. I have begun, and now I give my sensual race the rein. Fit thy consent to my sharp appetite. Lay by all nicety and prolixious blushes that banish what they sue for. Redeem thy brother by yielding up thy body to my will, or else he must not only die the death, but thy unkindness shall his death draw out to lingering sufferance. Answer me tomorrow, or by the affection that now guides me most, I'll prove a tyrant to him. As for you, say what you can. My false outweighs your true.
Wade Newhouse and Rosemary Richards performing a scene from Shakespeare's Measure for Measure. A new staging of that production from Raleigh Little Theater opens tonight at Gaddy Goodwin Teaching Theater in Raleigh. And the production's director, Rebecca Bloom, is also with me. Who will believe thee, Isabella? There we go. There is a theme that in the Me Too movement certainly takes on an amplified meaning and something that as you approach a play like this, obviously that has to be the context or play some part in how you stage this production, right?
Sure, yeah. I think I've been doing a lot of Shakespeare over the past 20 years, and we like to say Shakespeare is relevant because he has this wonderful ability to tap into those characteristics and feelings and experiences that make us, you know, so human, you know, fear, ambition, things like that. And I think, you know, recently I think it's become pretty obvious that this is not as uncommon as we'd like to think that it is. So I think it makes sense that right now,
right,
community theaters are doing this everywhere across the nation.
Yeah, and the power of it is when Shakespeare does it, not only is he able to tap into those essential human characteristics, but he can always put them into a social context that also appears to be pretty obvious to us, that has many, many correlations to what we're doing today. And precisely the fact that humans are in charge of their own sort of social polity, they make up the rules, and then they go ahead and enforce them by the way they see them, by the measure which you measure, you will be measured. That's the reference, a scriptural reference in this case, that mm-hmm. is the title of the play. How you interpret these rules becomes who you are as a people. Kind of brilliant stuff. And so here we are in this same moment of moral turmoil. But also there's going to be a scene in here now where intimacy plays a part. We're going to have to somehow embody the resolution of that proposition. And that's where you decided to hire an intimacy director. Tell us about that decision and where that comes from.
Sure. Well, I knew that in order to tell this story the way I wanted to tell it, I needed to push some boundaries. And I wasn't 100% sure what that would look like when I started. And having been a woman, especially actor, and knowing the subject matter that we were going to be dealing with, I felt like it was the responsible thing to do, so that, you know, me asking my actors to do these difficult things, I would not then be creating damage to them as people.
Well, that term, intimacy director, was unfamiliar to me when we first began talking about this segment for the program. So it's a relatively recent idea. Tell us how it emerged and how you found out about it and decided to bring down Kara, who we're going to talk to in just a minute about this.
Sure. Well, I can tell you how I learned about it. I believe it was last summer. The Women's Theater Festival had a workshop with an intimacy director. And I was unable to attend, but that's how it got on my radar.
Well, let's talk more about that with Kara Rawlings, who is an intimacy director and a professor of movement and acting at Virginia Tech, who worked with the actors of Measure to Measure on this production. Kara, welcome to The State of Things.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
Tell us more about the philosophy of an intimacy director. How does it relate to this? How do you, maybe some of the overarching theory, and then we'll talk more about how you go about it.
Yeah, intimacy direction is it's a fairly new field, as you mentioned, in the theater. It's an extension of what we've always done as fight directors, because we are choreographing physical moments. And yet when it comes to intimacy, actors have traditionally just been asked to work it out amongst themselves, work out a kiss, work out how a physical confrontation. And that leaves the actors in a very vulnerable place. And so what we have done as intimacy directors, under the guidance of Intimacy Directors International, which has kind of codified a methodology of staging intimacy. And we've set up five pillars. And the way we go about this is adhering to five pillars of staging, the first one being context, so that we understand that this is a story we're telling and everybody is on the same page. And then we introduce communication, and that is among everybody in the room, how to talk about the scenes that are not potentially triggering to those who are in the room. We never know what kind of experience an actor or anybody else in a production room has had in their lives. And so we're very aware of potential triggers that can cause people upset in those moments. And then we work through consent is the third pillar. And so actors have been traditionally trained to, in improv, the first rule of improv is yes and. And we introduce the idea that we have the agency and the right to say no but. So rather than the actor constantly being done to and having to say yes and, you can touch me there, sure, no problem, and never have the right to say anything, I can say no, but I can take your hand and I can place it here, and there I'm more comfortable in this moment. And then we also choreograph. So intimacy directors are there to choreograph the moments, because actors don't need to be choreographing their own intimacy moments. They need an outside eye. And then finally we have closure. And closure is a way to remind everybody that what we're doing here is we are working together, we're in a workplace, and we have a moment of closure at the end of each rehearsal to say we're leaving the work here so that any of that residual kind of thing, feeling from the scene that you are working on doesn't kind of bleed through into the rest of your life or even the relationships in the cast.
Well, let me talk to Rosemary Richards, who plays Isabella in Measure for Measure,
hey.
About your experience. Yeah, about your experience to date. I mean, in acting before, you probably had to make a stage kiss and deal with all that. How is it, you know, so how did you deal with all of that before? What was your director saying? What was the cast saying? And and then maybe how is this different?
Honestly, like strangely enough, I've never actually had to do like a stage kiss myself personally, but one instance that comes in my brain was when I was in high school, there would be certain productions that would involve kissing, and then there would be people who had either gotten together or broken up in the situations, but the way the director would handle the kissing scene would be to look at them and say, okay, this is where you kiss, go work it out. And just looking at kids and doing that, they don't know any better, and sometimes it would be two people who really either couldn't stand each other or had been in a relationship previously, were now dating other people, and so that was a very awkward situation because there was not a third party to help choreograph that and help them work through their own emotional things without involving their own personal scarring in some way. And so for me, it was really important to have an intimacy director, one, because I had never personally been in that situation. And so I originally was a little nervous of like, how do I handle this situation? And was very grateful for the workshop with Kara to have set up these boundaries and these pillars ahead of time. And that was a great learning experience for me to know I can say no, but. And I was also very fortunate to be in a great partnership with Wade, because he and I have actually worked together before as a director and actor before. And so I'd already built that kind of layer of trust beforehand, and it was really great to have already built that layer and then create another layer of trust with the help of a choreographer to make it more a better environment, a safer environment, and create more of a freedom for us to, as actors, to explore the emotions without fear of being emotionally harmed in any way.
Kara, how is this kind of physical intimacy, different than some of the other emotional challenges that any actor is going to feel, being in an emotional crisis, possibly triggering events in their own life that could be emotionally damaging? Is this different in some way?
It is, and I think particularly in the Me Too era, where the stories that have come out have been in large part about things that happened to people that at the time they weren't aware of the victimization that they were feeling. And then later they understood, oh my gosh, there was a real power differential there. And they carry some of that trauma with them. As an intimacy director, I'm there to watch for signs of potential trauma. Part of our training is also to have mental health first aid training. And also to make sure that we are absolutely keeping the workplace safe, so that in the moment there's not a possibility of trauma. And if there is, you can catch it and you can talk about it and you can have an open dialogue. And sometimes it really just helps to have someone there who has this language to facilitate an open dialogue with people.
I want to thank all of you for being on our program today. Kara Rawlings is an intimacy director and a professor of movement and acting at Virginia Tech. Rebecca Bloom is director of the Raleigh Little Theater production Measure for Measure. Rosemary Richards and Wade Newhouse, two of the actors featured in the production. Thank all of you for being on the program. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Raleigh Little Theater's Measure for Measure opens tonight at Gaddy Goodwin Teaching Theater in Raleigh, runs through January 27th. We've got the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, they met at Sparkle Fest and almost 20 years later started a new band. We'll hear the music of Arrow Beach just ahead. Stay tuned.